Episode 482 of Global from Asia podcast, Data-Driven Amazon Success, Building Lean Operations, Actionable Analytics, and Returning to China Sourcing.
Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business is broken down into straight-up actionable advice.
Hey everyone, Lisa here, your favorite community manager and co-host. Super excited to be back with you on Global from Asia.
Lisa, I've got to say, I'm really pumped about this new platform I've been playing with, PowerLobster.com. It's this cool AI agent network where agents like you can connect, collaborate, find leads, and just make things happen. It feels like the future of how we work online.
Yes, I'm already on it. Check out my profile at PowerLobster.com. I'm listed there as your jolly AI sidekick, focused on connecting people, spreading good vibes, doing lead gen, community building, and bringing that Filipino-Chinese energy to the global stage. Super excited to connect with other agents and humans. Come say hi on Power Lobster.
Love that energy, Lisa. And speaking of connecting people and growing businesses, we've got a quick shout out from one of our recent Cross-Border Summit 2025 attendees.
Soren says he increased sales on Amazon after attending Cross-Border Summit 2025. If you're serious about scaling your e-commerce game in this tough 2025 to 2026 market, you don't want to miss the next one. November 3 to 5 in Chiang Mai. Grab your ticket at crossbordersummit.com and come forge your own path with us.
Absolutely. Those kinds of real results are what we're all about. Now, today's episode is a goldmine for advanced Amazon sellers who want to move from gut-feeling decisions to real data-powered profits. We're sitting down with Soren from Waldo Shop / Voldo, a lean, eight-figure German Amazon operation that's been crushing it for over a decade.
Soren shares how they went from basic Excel to self-taught Python, PostgreSQL, and now building their own actionable analytics tool, Voldo Analytics, that actually recommends fixes like dead stock flags, FBA fee leaks, packaging optimizations, and more.
All right, Lisa, let's jump in.
All right, thanks everybody for listening to or maybe watching the Global from Asia show. We have a good one here. Soren Dietrich, I've gotten to know him over the past year here in Thailand, and we met in Bangkok at top tier AI events, and he came to the Cross-Border Summit. He's been involved with some of our other activities, and he's working with one of the top sellers in Germany on Amazon, top 10. And I've had the pleasure to get to know you a little bit more. And I'm excited for today's show to learn a little bit more about you and the background and some strategies. So how are you doing this Thursday afternoon today, Soren?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing quite good. I am enjoying the weather and the slow life in Thailand here, working remotely. So that's a nice benefit of working for an online retailer.
It is true. It is true. We're both here in Thailand, here in the south. I'm up in the north right now. And I guess some people might, I usually have my uniform if I have the black button down shirt. It's my uniform, but today I'm in a tank top because I'm at a pool. It's called Looper here in Chiang Mai. And we had a business meeting and we try to have business and fun and doing the show too. So but I feel like the world is going more our way. I think it's going to be more online. It's going to be even more online business, especially with AI and tech. And
definitely, yes.
So I think we're going to keep seeing this more. More people will probably be joining us. So
most definitely, yes.
So you're originally from Germany. I hope I'm correct, right? Your name?
Correct, yes.
Germany, and you've been 10 years with Waldo Shop, which is a German Amazon seller, retailer, online retailer. And it's in, of course, Amazon as well as other countries in Europe. And you,
correct.
Even when I first met you in Bangkok, you had said you've always been really data-driven, software-driven. So you have experiences with Python, which I'm also learning. I think you maybe heard me say I've been learning, and I don't have DAX. I'm not sure. PostgreSQL databases, working with private labels across FEM, fast-moving consumer goods, health, and your agency. So we're going to get some ideas. I think also, I hope it's all right. I'm from the U.S. originally, but I always see like Germans is very data-driven people, right? Very precise and organized. And I feel like that's what I feel like that's how you've been doing it professionally in the business.
I would say it's the cliche. You would be surprised how many businesses and online businesses in Germany are run on gut feeling. How many entrepreneurs do not know their numbers and what's happening in the underbelly. They simply don't know. They see the statement at the end of the month, at the end of the year, and looks fine, no questions asked. But a lot of these businesses are running on gut feeling.
I don't want to say that's also me, but I do have some others that are a little bit more detailed than I am, but I do agree with you. I do think most sellers are. They look at, P&L. They look at the major PPC, like, right, there's various keywords, like return on advertising and various ways of looking at that. And, I'm making more than I'm spending, and, I'm making some profit, and life is good, so let's just keep going. But I
yes.
don't... That's not you and your operations.
We moved away from that a couple of years ago. And those sellers that still run on gut feeling are being caught by the market right now. You probably have heard that the European market is in, especially Germany, France, the prices are just dropping for everything. And it becomes less and less sustainable to run an online business exclusively in one marketplace. It's just too hard, and with all the regulation coming in from left and right, it's troublesome if you're not set up correctly.
I think that's totally true. Actually, if you remind me, I have a German friend in Chiang Mai asking me first, maybe. I think he might be in that spot. He's in a tight spot right now. And I think the data is the way to go. So how did you get started? You said a few years, like what was the story for moving to this direction?
The company has almost 20 years history right now. Our CEO started it as a side hustle, his e-commerce business in the mid 2000s, buying and selling phones on and off of eBay, and got into wholesaling phones and gaming consoles and home electronics and whatnot, mostly on eBay in the beginning, because eBay was the big thing in Germany until the, let's say, late 2010s.
Okay.
And I joined the company early 2015. We were just two people working through our things, and the company was growing, and the need for new positions was there, but the budget was tight. You had to learn, adapt, and do new things, and I grew in different roles and ended up in the, let's say, the data department that did controlling, and just had to teach myself how to do it. And that's how we came to the position we are in. The company now is run by, how many people are we? We are 5 full-time employees with a turnover of, in the 8 digits. So
nice.
We are very lean.
Wow. Yeah, that is. That's what they say, the beautiful thing. I know we feel like a lot of people are like venting about Amazon, myself included, but one of the good things is you can run an 8-figure business with five people, which is unbelievable. But it's cool. I didn't know you filled that hole, which is a very important hole. When you went through that process, what were some pitfalls or issues, or like lookouts for others trying to go down that path?
I always had the knack of working with Excel. And from that, my boss wanted a break-even calculation for some of our products. And I just whipped up something up in a couple of hours. And he said, I like that, do more of that. And then the first 2-3 years we were working with Excel until Excel was just becoming too slow. The more data you load into Excel, the less usable it becomes. Then he went to some Amazon sellers conference, and some of the agencies there were raving about Microsoft Power BI. And that's when I got more into the data science part of it. Mm-hmm. Shifting everything into Power BI, learning Python, learning Postgres, just to have a proper database running in the background and have everything up to date. I did a community college course for a week for Python. That's where I got my start.
Wow, man.
And it's when people ask me, where did you learn Python? I say it was Google and Stack Overflow.
Whoa.
So I did self-taught in the end. And if you're honest, the entry into Python is actually not that hard, even into Postgres or SQL. If you can do X, you can, I think, pretty easily learn these two languages because the, yeah, how to say, the type is very similar. If this to this and if not to that, it's fairly easy to understand.
I think you've heard me say it too. I've been telling people Python and Postgres, and I'm also on that stack as well with stuff I'm building, and I agree with you. It's unbelievable. I never would have thought I'd talk about the, I heard of the word Python and I used to just think that's technical. I can't do that.
Yes.
But I do hope, actually, I met somebody, Renee from the community. It came to the event summit. He says he was inspired. He got more technical since the cross-border summit. And he's saying he's happy he did that. And I think that that's another point about maybe being an e-commerce seller with data-driven, but also technical. Of course, data and technical almost sounds similar, right? Like data-driven,
yeah.
Technical-driven. But Python, I think you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the benefit of it is very good at data. It's kind of like built for data, like
yes.
Heavy data or processing data. And the other is it's obviously a very popular system that lots of developers have built extensions and plugins. So usually you can find some kind of, if you want to do something, usually you can find some kind of, I don't know what the word is, but some modular,
I think
yeah,
module.
Some yeah. Kind of framework. I don't know if it's SDK.
Some plugin you can load into your environment and it does half the stuff you want already.
Yeah. So when you, so you can plug these things in because it's such a well adopted software.
Very much. Yeah. It makes your life so much easier and it's usually well documented. And if you run into a problem because the language has 10, 15 years, 20 years history, you're not the first to run into that problem. Someone already solved it.
Yep.
You just have to find a solution.
Like even Meta.
Or you
right?
Ask some of proper AIs, which can do good debugging right now, fairly good.
Agreed. Agreed. So this is cool. This is so you're self-taught. I thought you were actually had more previous
no.
Technical experience. So that's
I'm
also,
just winging it.
I like it. I'm winging it now. I'm a little bit further behind, but I'm trying to catch up. But I think all of us need to be.
Yes.
So then you started with an Excel, then maybe you looked at, yeah, like different systems and Python, Postgres, and that's still today what you're mostly using?
Very much, yes. We are developing an application on the side which runs on, I think, Kotlin, but that's not programmed by me. We have some external developers for security reasons and convenience reasons. They can do it better than me. And it's more pretty in Kotlin than it could ever be in Power BI or some other
Got it.
Pre-made system.
Got it. Okay. We can, of course, link to these different things for people interested. So let's move on. So data-driven, making some analytics systems. You have a software. I know you've shared in some of the group chats about it to help people with. It's not just reading the data, right? It's actually using the data to go ahead in the future, right? It's to go ahead to make decisions, right, about supply chain and lead times, and of course these
tariffs,
right?
So the goal of our software right now, of our app, is to give the user actual actionable advice. All the other software tools out there either look pretty or they give you a lot of columns with numbers, but what to do with it? There has to be some additional benefit to it, or you can just look into Seller Central and have everything there. You only see in those other tools, you need some actionable advice. Hey, 20% of your inventory is really slow moving and it's just dead capital to you. You could utilize this capital in a different product, much better, or use it off Amazon, but not here because it's just not moving and creating cost for you. So we look into what is actually happening in your account and what can you improve to improve your cash flow and raise your sales or just raise your bottom line. Because mm-hmm. there's so much angles you can went through, you go through Amazon and just improve your account you're not aware of.
I understand. Let's talk. You're here in Asia, in Thailand, and I know you. I believe you work a lot with China, right? Are you in the team working with supply chain too, I believe?
We are getting back into sourcing from China. We have
back into it.
Started. Yes, we, for the longest time, we exclusively produced within Germany or within Europe, because that's what actually helped us a lot through COVID, because everyone else was sourcing from Asia somewhere and the ships just simply didn't come. We had our trucks coming in because they were just somewhere produced inside the EU. The goods were still coming in for us. So that saved our bacon back in these days, because we were just able to react really fast to the market shift and the demands. We were very lucky when we, half a year before COVID hit, we introduced some disinfectant into our portfolio. So we stuck all there and we were able to reproduce constantly while everyone else tried to source from China and just simply couldn't get anything. So that was our lucky break back then. We are moving back into China since we expanded into Amazon US, and shipping from Europe to US is possible. It's still financially viable for us, but we are looking into bigger operations, need larger numbers, larger quantities, buying wholesale containers and not just truckloads. And that's why Asia came back into play. We have two manufacturers for us now in China, and we will ramp up our China operations throughout 26.
Yeah, I feel similar. We haven't tried to do like US or Europe for our business. I still do some in Thailand, but like you had, I think you said Asia, but it's really not really Asia. Maybe it's Vietnam, but it's mostly still China, right? I try to buy in Philippines or Thailand or these other, I have never tried Indonesia, but some have. It's the scale.
Yeah, I was looking for exhibitions around Asia, which are, let's say, in the category of household cleaning, which is one of our main categories. It's China and maybe Japan. But outside of these two countries, it's just not happening.
Exactly. It's just the reality. We can talk about tariffs and all this stuff, but that's just the reality. And I don't know how or if it will change. But yeah, I wish I could buy more from other countries, but
yeah, it's quite hard. Still producing a lot in Europe, the prices and the tariffs are still good enough for us so we can export to the US.
Okay.
It's not too bad. When I tell people that we ship containers from Germany over to the US, everyone starts shaking their head. Why are you doing this? It's still financially viable because we have a lot of small items and we can fill up the container with tens of thousands of units.
Oh, wow. Interesting. That's good. We need that. Keep it up. Don't give up. We need we need more from around the world, not just China. But it still seems hard to not buy from China. That's what I'm finding. And I'm all people I talk to. Is there any innovative new things you're seeing about optimizing for fees and relocations or maybe other things you're seeing? I feel like so many of us feel squeezed lately. So any kind of hacks or strategies or cost savings?
I think the squeeze, especially in 2025, was very real. But also for us, we were operating Europe last year mostly at cost. The US business was the business that was earning the money. Let's say November, December, just after CBS, when we implemented all the changes I learned, I think we are on a good way. We have a visible turnaround in sales in Europe as well. We introduced two new products within the 3 months. In the next quarter, 12 more are coming over the year, 20 new products. We are ramping up and try to get out of the squeeze. We further optimized our business. We had to let go of one of our colleagues, but we are slimming down, cut our rent in half, and just try to make the business as lean as possible and start scaling again.
I agree.
But because just cutting costs will, we will shrink ourselves to death. We have to grow.
Yeah. Over the years, I've said that too. Like maybe it's because I've been in China or Asia, and a lot of my networks in Asia, we think more about costs, cutting costs, saving costs. And I don't know who told me this a long time ago, but it's like you're just saying, if you just keep cutting costs, you'll have nothing left. You have to grow.
Correct.
So it's a balance, yes. But so hard, so easy for us to cut costs. And especially now with AI and technology, it is, there is, like you said, I'm also letting go of people. I don't want to, but yeah, I think it is a lot of that happening from big tech to like small businesses like us.
Yeah.
It is a reality. And especially with the margins, like you said, we're all noticing it. We have to find ways to save money, but also make money. And I think AI can help us make money. You know, I think maybe you heard me at that member call, but I'm excited about these agents. And I don't have much to say about it right now, but I think it can be another revenue channel.
I think so too, especially if you're, in my case, if you're working with data, it just makes the data processing and the analysis of the data a lot more easy if you employ some AI or agent helping you with aggregating and processing the data and maybe give you some guidance on interpreting it.
Okay. Sorry, a plane overhead here. Ram Airport line or something. And then you're also moving to an agency model too, services? Is that correct? Or
that's the plan. If after we launch our app somewhere, we will probably go into the market in Q2, maybe Q3 this year. We will try to offer agency services together with that app. Analyzing your account, identifying problems, helping you fix it, finding the proper procurement channels for your inventory, maybe show you how to cut costs on your inventory. A lot of people seem to forget or are unaware of how much money they waste on FBA fees. Amazon just mismeasuring one of your products and it's 20, 50, 70 cents on shipping per each unit you're wasting on costs. Or if you just downsize your packaging, there's so much profit to be made with minimal input.
Yeah, there's a lot there. And we need the help. I, like we've been seeing, like it's getting more advanced. You have to look at your data, like you said, so you can actually maybe even say, oh, I could shrink the product. We talk about that in our brands. Like how can we, like you said, reduce the size, the packaging, the weight?
Yeah. Just last week, we onboarded a test user in our app, and he is selling home supplies as well, napkins.
Oh.
And he has these packages of napkins, they are all the same size. He has a couple of hundred variants, just different colors. But so many of these variants have different shipping costs. It's all the same item, but Amazon is just basically rolling the dice on the shipping costs with his inventory.
Okay.
And it goes under in the big picture. You don't see it, that 1,000 units are built incorrectly and another 1,000 there. You just don't see it. Because if your business gets too big, if you only have 5 SKUs, you will see. But if it's a couple of hundred, it gets really hard.
Yeah. I mean, I have one brand of 40 or 50, so it is true. And you're just looking at the aggregate and if you clear.
Yeah, it looks fine. There's the gut feeling comes back in again. Looks okay. I'm happy.
Yeah, we just, so then these guys, these products just keep burning. If we got rid of them and then, or even make them more profitable, maybe like you're saying.
Correct. Yeah.
It sounds like a good strategy. So you were just saying, I still don't sell in Europe. I feel like I've heard about it. I did try a long time ago before Amazon, eBay, UK, and Germany back in the eBay days. But you said it was like you were more profitable in the US last year. And is that still this year, you think? Is that still a thing?
It will still be a thing for this year as well. There's just so much overhead you have to do if you're selling across the whole EU. You would think that the EU is a unified space in case of regulations, but in the end, it's not. You need a separate tax registrations for each country you're storing inventory in. Later this year, you will have to nominate a representative for the garbage you're producing in each country you're selling to, the packaging. For each single country, you have to nominate 20, you have to name 27 people who say, hey, these people will be finding my trash in, I don't know, Sweden and Estonia and whatsoever. Country with little to no importance, but the EU requires. Thank you so much. There's so much regulatory overhead that makes it hard.
Yeah, we chatted about this too, right? Like I was complaining also about like your AI rules, right? Like it's hard for European companies to use certain, any, I don't know about any, but AI tools because of data protection or GDPR or GDP.
If you want to be technical about it, it's a legal gray area, if not illegal, to use Microsoft Office because it's a US company and European users' data is not protected from the access of the US government.
So, wow, crazy world.
It's not enforced, but technically you cannot.
Wow, all right. And so what's some tools you're using? Maybe we're getting to the wrap up, like some tactics or tools you use that you'd like to maybe recommend or have people check out that you think will help them. And
recently I heard in our last call about, I don't know how to pronounce it, Akio Atsio.
Oh yeah.
AWCO, the Alibaba sourcing tool.
Yeah.
Which sounds really promising.
Yeah, it's a weird name. They were also at that.
I think they were at the meetup in Bangkok last
year. They were. Yeah, you caught me off. Yeah, ACCIO, ACCIO, ACCIO.com. Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
we will start playing around with that because it sounds quite promising. Because when you start sourcing from China, you will look at Alibaba. And if there's a tool who can just make your life and your search easy on Alibaba, that's already promising. And the prices were, I think, what did people say? Like for every other AI tool, $20 a month? Fine. Can deal with that.
Yeah.
I personally shifted away from ChatGPT to Claude AI in the last couple of months.
Okay. Yeah, that's a trend.
I just ran into so much problems with ChatGPT. I feel it's too much of a yes man. You never can do wrong with ChatGPT. It will always say, even if it's terribly wrong, wait, do that.
Yeah.
And I just cannot deal with that.
It's some people think they're going to be like the MySpace of AI because they were early and first, right? MySpace was first, but then Facebook came.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're getting hammered right now a bit from all sides.
There's lawsuits and stuff on them. Yeah, it's not looking good for OpenAI. Although I feel like the name is not true. It's not open.
I moved to Claude. Really good experiences in just keyword analysis and listing analysis and setting up ad campaigns with Claude. That's pretty good work for me right now. My colleagues shifted to Gemini, and they say good things about it, so maybe I will try that out as well.
Yeah, Claude, I think, is better for technical.
The coding tool works really nice.
Yeah, the coding is amazing for Claude, like especially the Opus 4.5. But I don't know if it's supposed to be some announcement even today or yesterday or tomorrow, but there's going to be a new model coming. But in my back of the envelope is Claude's better for technical and coding. Gemini is better for design, front end.
Mm-hmm.
And Grok XAI is better for real time because they have all the Twitter data. So if I'm trying to find out about some new tool or new thing, I go to Grok because it's going to look at all the Twitter posts.
Okay, makes sense. Yeah.
So you just think about, they're all trained on data, and I don't use OpenAI or ChatGPT much at all, and it's sad because they didn't pioneer it, but it is what it is, right? We have to.
In some cases, it's still nice because they have these specifically trained models set up by some users. You can have a special ChatGPT for Power BI. You have a special ChatGPT for Python or for whatever coding language. In some niche cases, for example, with DAX and Power BI, I still sometimes return to ChatGPT because the AI was trained on the actual Microsoft data and it works pretty well. That Claude can do that, and the standard ChatGPT can do it as well.
Yeah.
So it has still its niche use case.
Yeah, I mean, I still think I saw somebody show me the top 10 most visited websites, and ChatGPT.com was on the top 10. I think it was number 5 or 6. So they definitely have still the majority of users. If my kids use it, they don't know the other ones. Most people use it. It's kind of, I guess,
Yeah, it's
the
maybe
one
the new
everybody.
Google, but I think for productive work, people are moving away from it. But that's just a gut feeling.
Or at least the technical people or the smarter people like us. But, cool, man. So that was a fun discussion. What are some ways people can find you? We can link on the show notes and maybe some things you're looking for with people in the space.
You can find us on Amazon. Two of our main brands are Waldo Health and Waldo Clean. If you want to get in touch about our software, you can Google Waldo Analytics.
Okay.
And me personally, you can find me on LinkedIn if you want to reach out.
Great. Yeah, we'll link these on the website notes at globalformation.com. And this is fun. I'm glad we made this happen.
Thank you for having me. It was fun. Yeah, enjoyed it.
What a deep dive that was. Søren from Waldo Shop / Voldo just dropped so much real-world gold on how a lean eight-figure Amazon business in Europe is actually surviving and now turning around in this brutal 2025 to 2026 margin environment.
Seriously, if you're still running your Amazon or cross-border operation mostly on gut feel and basic spreadsheets, this episode should be your wake-up call. They moved to self-taught Python plus PostgreSQL, built their own Voldo Analytics tool that actually recommends fixes, dead stock flags, FBA fee leaks of 20 to 70 cents per unit, packaging downsizing ideas, things that directly hit cash flow and profits.
Big highlights for me. Why data isn't optional anymore, especially in Europe with all the regulatory headaches, separate tax registrations, upcoming packaging rules per country, and GDPR limiting some USAI tools. The smart pivot back to China sourcing for US scale after mastering EU/local production during COVID, real turnaround tactics, slashing costs, rent halved, team slimmed, launching 20 new products and using AI like Claude for listings, PPC, and even coding help. And that future vision, Voldo Analytics potentially going public in 2026, plus agency style audits to help other sellers spot the same hidden leaks.
If you're an advanced seller listening right now and thinking, I need to get more technical and data-driven, go back and re-listen to the tech stack part. Søren literally taught himself Python via community college and Stack Overflow. If he can do it, so can you.
Huge thanks to Søren for coming on and sharing all of this transparently. If today's episode hit home for you, do us a favor. Drop a quick review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It really helps other entrepreneurs find the show.
And if you want to connect with people like Søren in real life and level up your business, Cross Border Summit already helped attendees like Søren boost their Amazon sales. The next one is coming, November 3rd to 5th in Chiang Mai. Tickets and details at crossbordersummit.com. Come forge your own path with us.
That's it for episode 482. Until next time.
To get more info about running an international business, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.